Merry Christmas. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our midweek Advent services this year, we looked at the saint from the church calendar whose commemoration days fell around that Wednesday. Tonight's saint, however, isn't actually commemorated until August 15th. And yet, if it weren't for her, we wouldn't actually be here tonight. That saint is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary is an interesting case because out of all of the saints we have talked about and used to point us to Jesus thus far, she is the one who arguably was the closest to him. After all, you don't get any closer than mother and child during pregnancy. Now, I'm sure that everyone is familiar with the Christmas song, Mary Did You Know? I've seen a number of articles and stuff online and the like lambasting that song, saying that, of course, Mary knew. The angel told her exactly what was going to happen. Well, yes, but personally, I kind of disagree with or take issue with that response. Yes, the angel Gabriel came and told her, but there are plenty of accounts in Scripture of people being told a message by an angel, accepting it, and then not really actually understanding what it really meant. Samson's parents is just one example. They were told by God himself that Samson, their son, would be a Nazarite and a judge, and then they were confused when their son started doing some decidedly non-Nazaritic things. The fulfillment of the angel's message isn't always the same as what you would expect it to be. And in the case of Mary, there is a significant phrase that encapsulates her attitude toward her son from verse 19, a little after our reading tonight. Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. So ponder along with me as we ponder on the son of Mary. Now, we'll start 9 months before the manger scene in our reading today, which is when birth stories normally start. Mary is a young girl, probably around 14, 15 years old, who is betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. She is unmarried and a virgin, and so hence early teens, or early to mid-teens in this culture. The angel Gabriel appears to her one day, out of the blue essentially, and greets her as, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." She is a little confused by this, and then the angel continues to tell her that she will conceive and bear a son, and that God will overshadow her so that she conceives this child. And her response is, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you have said." Now, imagine with me what Mary must have been thinking at this time. Did she understand the scriptures well enough to connect this announcement, her newly conceived son, with the promise in Isaiah 7, verse 14, that the virgin will conceive and bear a son? Did she realize at this point that her son would be the promised offspring of the woman who had been promised and foretold in Genesis 3:15, who would crush the head of the ancient serpent, Satan? Did she understand at that moment that Micah 5, verse 2 meant that she'd have to make a trip to Bethlehem late in her pregnancy so that her son could be born in the ancestral hometown of David in Bethlehem? And so, how much did she know? How much did she learn afterwards? The child is conceived in her womb, and it began to grow in the normal way, and so she went to visit her relative Elizabeth, who also was pregnant by miraculous means. Well, when Elizabeth saw her, the babe in her womb leapt for joy. The first one to recognize the new Messiah was, in fact, John, a baby in utero. And so, in response to this, Mary sang a song of joy, which we call the Magnificat, giving thanks to God for what he was doing in and through her. I imagine that this was a memory that she treasured up of this meeting, especially later on when John went out into the wilderness to begin his ministry, proclaiming repentance and proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, this very same Messiah that Mary had been told that she would give birth to. And so, of course, 9 months after the miraculous conception, Mary and her soon-to-be husband traveled to Bethlehem, where her son was born in the same village as his much more famous ancestor, King David. Or rather, more famous before all of this happened. We aren't told anything especially unusual about this child's birth, except that he was laid in a manger and wrapped in rags, which is itself somewhat unusual for a child who is to be the Messiah. But what is even more unusual is the people who came to see him first, shepherds. The shepherds came to Mary and Joseph and Jesus, saying that they had been visited by angels. The angel had called the newborn baby the Savior, Christ the Lord. The angel had given them signs, all of which had come true with Mary's son, that he would be laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling cloths. When Mary pondered on this, how do you think she would have reacted to it? How would you if this was what happened for you? Well, we aren't told all that much about Jesus for the 10 or 12 years after the coming of the wise men, when Jesus was just a toddler. But Jesus, the preteen, gives another fascinating moment on which Mary would ponder. But before jumping ahead to the very end of Luke chapter 2, we should also ponder on the day that Jesus was presented in the temple at a mere 40 days old, which comes just after our reading in Luke chapter 2. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to do for him what was required to give the sacrifice in the temple, and two elders, Simeon and Anna, took the baby in their arms and praised God, holding their child. What do you think Mary thought when Simeon sang his song, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." What did Mary think when Simeon told them that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed? Did Mary realize just how literally God meant these words? Or when Simeon then told her that a sword will pierce through your own soul also, could she have dreamt what it would mean for her personally? Well, that next moment, 10, 12 years later, also happened at the temple when the Jewish calendar includes 3 days in the year when all men are to present themselves in Jerusalem for worship. And one of those is the Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, Mary and Joseph went up and brought him with them to the temple. When they left to return to Jerusalem, to Nazareth, Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Can you imagine what must have been running through Mary's mind when she realized that Jesus was missing? Oh my God, I lost the Messiah. Well, when Mary returned to the temple and found Jesus debating with the priests, it says again that she treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but she didn't quite seem to get yet what that meant. Now, that really shouldn't surprise us all that much. Scripture is replete, again, with stories of people who spoke to angels and still didn't actually 100% get what they were being told. What did she think of her little 12-year-old who could debate circles around the scholars in the temple? Did she recognize that the one who had inspired the prophetic writings of Scripture was then interpreting them here? I imagine Mary's thoughts during the rest of Jesus' ministry went along similar lines. After all, she accompanied him on several of his journeys. At the wedding feast of Cana, she knew that he was capable of solving that newly married couple's wine shortage. She was probably there to hear much more of what he said while he was traveling around. What did Mary think when she heard him teach? What did she ponder when he said, "I am the bread of life"? Or did she realize just how true it would be when he said, "I am the good shepherd"? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When Jesus refused to accompany her and his other siblings back home and instead told the crowd, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother," was Mary confused at how her son, the Messiah, could speak thus of her? Like Mary, we also can find ourselves confused by the events around us or by what Jesus says and how it applies for us today. Like Mary, we also can look at Jesus' words and not fully understand them in the moment. But thanks be to God that our salvation does not rely on our understanding, but on our faith. Well, Mary was present one last time with one last event to ponder, the worst one that any mother could experience, because Mary was one of the women at the foot of the cross. Can you imagine the agony Mary must have felt on seeing her son nailed to a cross like a common criminal? Given that he was the Son of God, God with us, called God with us by the angel, named Jesus, which means he saves, did she imagine that this would be how it would end? At the temple when he was presented, old Simeon had declared to Mary that a sword will pierce your heart also. Did she realize that this moment was what he meant? I can't imagine that the cross made a lot of sense for a grieving mother watching her baby die a slow, agonizing death. But what do we think when we ponder on this mystery? Jesus, the creator of the world, became a human baby and grew into a human man. Jesus, the divine Son of David, ruled over his kingdom not by sword and shield, but by the cross. Jesus, the divine judge, took on himself the eternal penalty for our crimes, punishing the truly innocent himself and letting the guilty go free, us. What does it all mean? When we ponder on what God has done, what do we find? We find what Mary found, the Son of God, wrapped in cloths and lying in an unusual location. At his birth, he was wrapped in rags and placed in a feeding trough, an unusual crib for a divine king to be laid. At his death, he was wrapped in a shroud and placed in a stranger's tomb, an unusual place for a king to be buried. But of course, this wasn't the end of Mary's pondering. At the cross, she had watched her son die, but then 3 days later, she went to the tomb to anoint his body with several of the other women, only to find it empty. What could she have thought when another angel appeared to tell her that her son had risen from the dead? What could she have thought 50 days later when the Holy Spirit anointed the disciples, including Mary and her other children, Jesus' brothers, so that they spoke in tongues? By then, I'm sure it was clear. The son she had born, the promised Messiah, whom the angel had said would be called the Son of the Most High God, was God himself. As we ponder along with Mary on the meaning of the angel's message, as we ponder on her newborn son, we do not see the Messiah that we expect. We see the Messiah that we need. We see Jesus, the Savior who will save us from our sins. We see Emmanuel, God truly with us, the intermediary between God and his creation. We see the one who created the world entering into that creation to be one with us. And confronted by this glory, we join the shepherds in attending the manger to see him who has been made known to us. The Savior, Christ the Lord, is our Savior. Amen. Merry Christmas. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.